the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this is now the third Sunday after our celebration of Pascha. The first two Sundays after Pascha gave us the mystery of the resurrection to continue to contemplate. This third Sunday of Pascha is called the Sunday of the Paralytic. Now, on the surface, it seems foreign to the cycle of the resurrection. This Sunday is dedicated to the commemoration of a miracle which historically belongs earlier in Christ's ministry. Yet the church brings it before us today because of the greatness of the miracle that was performed. That is, if you're allowed to distinguish miracles between great and lesser, I guess. But this truly was a great miracle. Consider what surrounds this particular miracle. The seriousness of this illness. Now, here was this man who was paralyzed. He could not walk. And then consider the length of time. 38 years. 38 years he had been this way. And then the setting. Here he is, so close, yet so far from the pool where healing did occur, time after time after time. And he could not take advantage of it over his 38 years. We see that this miracle of the paralytic's behalf, though, bears witness to Christ's power over the human body in a very impressive way. Jesus' power to heal is intimately linked with the resurrection. For it proclaims that he who can overcome death in his own body has power over all human flesh. So the description of this miracle is placed here during our resurrection season, if you will, shortly after Pascha, because he can heal the paralytic because he himself rose from the dead. The miracle may not fit chronologically, but it does fit closely with the resurrection from this perspective. And today is a reminder that we need to keep the resurrection in mind throughout the year as we encounter the events and circumstances that we find in our lives and remember the importance of the resurrection. St. John records this particular event that occurred in Jerusalem near the pool of Bethsaida. And what significance is this, you may ask? Well, healing occurred in this pool periodically. People with illnesses would come to this pool to wait for the water to be moved by an angel of the Lord. And when this occurred, the first sick person to step into the water was healed. It was a great mystery, but the Lord's healing hand was there. And as Jesus nears the pool, he sees a crowd of the ill and infirm who are waiting for this type of event to occur. Among the people was this poor man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. And Jesus turns to him, knowing of his plight, and asks if he wants to be healed. Now, Jesus seems to often ask a question that might seem obvious. Of course this man would want to be healed. But he does so to draw the person out, to have them express what's in their heart, and have them tell about their dilemma so others can hear as well. And we heard last night during Vespers how the man considered, "I've wasted my money on physicians and received no help from anyone." But on that day, the physician of soul and body healed him. You know, people waste their time and money on a lot of things these days, yet they receive no help for their souls. You can accumulate money and spend it on things and attempt to cure what's missing in your life. But unless you turn to the physician who cures your soul, it does no good. You can spend your time trying to find joy in things of this world, But unless you find joy in knowing the one who made us and who gave us life to begin with, you're just wasting your time away pursuing those things. Now, it's clear the paralytic did believe he would be healed when the angel came to stir the water. But the problem was he could not move on his own to get into this water. Even if he could attempt to maybe drag himself along the ground, he never could be quick enough to get into the water before others. And the paralytic tells how he has no one to help him place him in the water. Now, after he said this, hear the next words that Jesus says. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And it's pretty simple and straightforward. There was no further discussion about his life or whatever he was thinking. He simply tells him to rise up. Jesus has compassion on him. I mean, he saw him out that day. Now, the paralytic could have questioned why Jesus would say that. It was obvious he could not walk. He just described he had no way that he could get up and go to the pool. How in the world could he rise and pick up his bedding and walk? But the man believed he could be healed in that pool. And more importantly, he believed the God-man who just told him to get up and walk. He believed that, and he did that. Guess what happened? At once, the man was healed. He took up his pallet. He gathered it up, and he walked for the first time in 38 years. That's amazing. Once again, though, instead of praising God for what Jesus just did, the Jews protest because the healing, this miracle, had taken place on the Sabbath. We then hear something a little bit later, significant, that Jesus further says to this man as he finds him in the temple. And Jesus says to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you." Now, that's interesting. The immediate significance of this gospel, of course, is Jesus' sovereign power over illness and his healing of this man. But a secondary significance here is that the gospel account makes a connection between physical illness and sin in this particular case. Sometimes Jesus makes it very clear that a particular illness was not due to the person's sin. It had nothing to do with their past. However, it's clear here that Jesus cautions this man to sin no more, or else he may find himself even worse off. In addition to drawing us away from God, some sins can affect us physically. In fact, we need to be thankful for God's mercy when we find that our own repeated sins have not afflicted our bodies. And it's a reminder for us to not assume that our sin's not going to affect us physically. We should be quick to repent when we do realize we have sinned. Now, God allowed this healing ministry to continue with the apostles and down through the church, through the ages. In today's reading from the Acts, we hear how Peter heals Ananias, who had been bedridden due to paralysis for 8 years. Here was another man, been paralyzed in bed 8 years. And we hear familiar words as Peter says to him, "Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Again, very simple statement, but the power of God was behind it. We can come to the Lord to seek His healing hand in the church even today. And just something I'd encourage you, there's a real good summary here on the healing ministry of Christ on the back of our announcements today. I encourage you to read that. So let us be reminded today, during this season of the resurrection, that Jesus rising from the dead clearly demonstrates the power over all mankind's illness and even death itself. And it reminds us of His power over sin and the spiritual healing that we can receive directly from Him if we acknowledge our weaknesses. Just as this man described his problem, his dilemma, to the Lord. And that Christ will act in our own lives and for us to sin no more. And we ask these things in the Lord's name. Amen.